I'm your host, Kevin Price, talking to you about you and your business. Really excited to have Hunter Lewis back on the show. He comes on, it seems like, every 6 months or so to bring us a new book. The guy is a prolific author and a great free market thinker, and looking forward to having him on the show. He's got a new book out that I think is must reading. It's called Economics in Three Lessons, and also it's 100 Economic Laws. It's essentially, it's like almost two books in one. And Hunter, we're delighted to have you back on the program. Back in the 1990s, I began working on a book, and I don't know what happened along the way, called Defying the Laws of Economics. And I, you know, and basically it has tons of the same approach and look at things that you talk about. And your book was inspired greatly by Henry Hazlitt's classic book, Economics in One Lesson, one of my favorite books, and certainly certainly one of the most influential on me, to me. It's probably the first economics book I read voluntarily, in other words, outside of college. And it was like a wow moment. And your approach to these things, to these economic issues are very similar to Hazlitt's. Welcome to the program. Kind of give us the overview of the book.
Well, the book is really a sequel to Hazlitt. I mean, I'm a disciple and admirer of Hazlitt as well. I wanted to update Hazlitt. I wanted to expand it a bit. And that's the first part, the three lessons. And then I get into the 100 economic laws, which is a little more complicated, covers more ground. It's almost a complete course in economics, and I really wrote it for young people with that in mind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, what's interesting is you use that language, laws. I use the same language in my book. And economists are interesting because they love mathematical formulae, which the Austrian school only moved there in order to have more credibility. But the Austrian school, which Hazlitt was in, you know, and Hayek and all of the great thinkers in that school, they could do it. They could do math, but they only went in there in order to be able to teach in the university and that type of thing. But you know, the economics tries to project itself as a something that really can't be defined in terms of laws. If they use a law type approach with mathematics, it's like they're trying to hedge their bets. But I think we should know, you know, from a common sense perspective, you know, I love what, you know, Ludwig Mises, you know, talked about. It's just simple human behavior. You do this and humans are going to behave like that. Talk a little bit about that and how that's applied to the way you approach your economics.
Well, you know, I've noticed that Keynesian economists do talk about economic laws. For example, Larry Summers, who was Obama's chief economist, he wrote an article about how something violated economic law, but they never say what the economic laws are. They never define them. You know, they just use the term. So I thought it'd be interesting to actually set them down so that we could actually discuss them. And, of course, those laws absolutely rebut Keynesianism. You know, I mean, they make it clear, if you look at economic law, it's clear that Keynesianism will not work. You cannot solve a problem of too much debt by just loading on more debt. I mean, that absolutely violates logic, and logic is what underlies economic law.
Right. Well, in the case of, you know, I am familiar with the left using that, and not specifically with Summers' work, but in every case, it's virtually using a rhetorical tool. You know, the thing that makes it, it's very important for Keynesians, is that they have the ability to not be pigeonholed or not be locked into their final positions. Flexibility is really important because, really, their economic views are built on exception, not on rules.
That's right. And of course,
yeah.
it's not working. I mean, you know, we've now had, until the Trump administration, we had 10 years of the worst economy ever. Virtually as bad as during the Great Depression period of 10 years. So that's what these policies were giving us.
Well, and I think a lot of what's happening under Trump, frankly, there's not been any significant policy change other than the tax cuts. There have been a lot of regulatory changes under Trump that people don't simply monitor them because they look boring, but they're not boring to business owners who are being crushed by them. So he is quietly changing a lot of that. But I personally think most of it is built on optimism, rather than on reality. The euphoria we're seeing in the economy is built on optimism. You know, our fundamentals are disastrous. We got a $20 trillion debt, and our debt ratio to GDP, our debt's now higher than our GDP in that ratio, which that's when countries become, that's when they essentially disappear or vanish off the landscape in terms of vibrance. And we saw that with Japan. Japan's long decline was linked to that ratio. So I don't know. I think hope runs eternal. It'll be interesting to see how Trumponomics pans out.
Well, what worries me the most about Trumponomics, is that he's not changing Fed policy at all. The Federal Reserve, he's just continuing the Janet Yellen regime, really. He's appointed Jay Powell as Fed chair, and Jay Powell has sat there with Janet Yellen and Bernanke and agreed to all of their policies. No change whatsoever. He's even nominated Marvin Goodfriend to the Fed, who is an economist who wants to outlaw cash. And that really worries me. I'm afraid that the Secretary of the Treasury, Mnuchin, must want to outlaw cash also, because he seems to be the one who has the dominant role in the Fed policy today. But if Trump doesn't change Fed policy at all, then we're really in the soup.
Yeah. So talk a little bit about some of the highlights, if you will, in your book, the things that kind of drove you when you were writing it.
Well, again, I really wanted to write something for young people so they could understand economics. And most of the economics textbooks you get today, they're either irrelevant or wrong. I mean, there's a lot of it that's just simply wrong. And so many kids are taking economics courses, major economics, and are getting all this stuff which is of little value. And I have kids, so, I wanted to write a book that would really introduce economics to them, and that's what I tried to do. And just like you said, it's a matter of common sense and logic, and you have to understand how that applies to the economy and how we can turn all this situation around and stop choking on our debt and create a future for the kids.
Yeah, it's interesting on social media, which, being in the radio business, we do a lot in social media, but I'm noticing all these people who are lamenting how the cost of their McDonald's burgers have just gone up where they live, and sure enough, minimum wage laws went up in their areas. and it's like they think these things can happen in a vacuum. You can't raise minimum wage without ultimately raising the cost of doing business. And, and whatever trade-off these people get with higher wages, these are the same people who buy McDonald's hamburgers. Those who are on minimum wage, the same people who buy McDonald's hamburgers. It's hilarious in a way, in a cruel way, to see how these laws are being violated and how badly they hurt the people they ostensibly are designed to help. Not to mention the fact that a lot of marginal employees are simply let go because your job isn't worth whatever the new minimum wage is. People aren't hired based on their worth. They're hired on the worth of the job they're doing.
Well, another example of that is that, the government actually taxes poor people at a rate of as much as 100 to 500% because, they have all these rules where if you just make a couple extra $1,000, they take away all your benefits. And so you make $2,000 more, you lose $10,000 in medical, subsidy and that sort of thing. So you're actually being taxed at 500%. This is really crazy.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, Hunter, we're going to have to wrap it up. I want you to give out your website so people can get more information, particularly about getting this book.
Well, the book is published by Axios Press, so axiospress.com.
Axios, A-X-I-O-S, press.com. That's axiospress.com. I want to encourage you to check it out. I want to encourage you to read this book. The problem with so much of the, if you went to virtually any university, there's very few. George Mason, University of Nevada, there's a handful of Hillsdale College. You're only going to be exposed to a Keynesian worldview. There's a handful of other schools that's going to offer you a free market approach, and most of them are not going to be offering it from a real true free market approach. You know, I'm increasingly thinking like Ludwig von Mises, who argued there is no third way. All other ways are ultimately going to lead to a command economy or socialism. And so it's really important, because you're not going to get it in the mainstream literature or mainstream media to find information like Hunter Lewis is talking about. Economics in Three Lessons and 100 Economic Laws, I consider it must reading. Hunter, thanks for being with us again. Always enjoy having you on the program. And again, you can go check out the book. I encourage you to go buy it. Don't just check it out. At Axios Press, that's A-X-I-O-S Press.com. I also want to mention that the show does continue 24/7 at priceofbusiness.com, where we daily add new audio, video, articles, and so much more. While there, make sure you like it on Facebook, follow it on Twitter. The Price of Business is nationally syndicated on the BizTalk Radio Network.